C6, number 16B.
A problem stated that we should not consider that as a problem, but that we should enlarge the framework, enlarge the system, and go to the higher system, and look out from the higher system what the part should be, and give from the higher system an answer to this specific question. Now here is the practical proposition. The practical proposition is that we were asking, what is a treatment? Where do we find in the textbook somewhere a line, a guiding line, how to give a treatment? And we said, actually, at that time we said this morning, actually, if we go to the text, we never find anywhere. But Mrs. Eddy would say, now look here, so if you have a case, then sit down and then treat that case like this. And would say, first you do this, second you do this, third you do this, fourth you do this, and then you go on, and then that's a perfect treatment. This is what every student of Christian Science would like to hear from his teacher. That's why he goes to class. So we have asked the same question. We have asked the same question. I have said, why don't we find, really, in the chapter on practice, which is specifically called Christian Science Practice, with mental treatment illustrated in it, why don't we find, really, in that chapter, really the answer? Therefore, we could say, well, perhaps the answer is in it. But in order to find the answer, system thinking says, go to the higher frame of reference. And what have we been doing? We have gone to the higher frame of reference. We have taken not as instead of investigating if the 12th chapter has the answer, we went to the whole textbook, that's the higher system of reference, to the whole textbook, and began to investigate the whole textbook from the point of view of healing. And what did we find? We found a whole matrix that would answer the question of healing. What then is treatment? Now we can deduce, actually from the higher system, come down to the smaller problem, to the problem stated, the 12th chapter, and say, does actually the whole matrix on healing answer what is the meaning of the 12th chapter? Is that clear? It's now going out, you see, we are now thinking in whole. I have said we are no more thinking in parts, we are thinking in whole. The greater whole must give the answer for the smaller whole. The smaller whole is the 12th chapter. The bigger whole is the textbook. Is now the textbook as a whole giving us the answer of the smaller whole? The 12th chapter. And it does. It does. Now, naturally, thank God, you see, we had John Dolby. Thank God we had first the prerequisites, the foundation work that has been done by opening up the whole textbook and seeing the textbook as a 4x4 matrix, and seeing in each chapter again the layout of each chapter, so that the prerequisites, the pre-work has been established soundly, and John Dolley has established the structure of the 12th chapter soundly, you see? So that, thank God to that, we can now see that the 12th chapter is taking the whole textbook as the basis of treatment. That treatment or practice is what? Using the right theory. What is the right theory? The right theory is the whole matrix of that healing matrix we have made. Let's look at it. The matrix of the whole textbook with its 16 chapters is the higher frame of reference from which we can deduce the true treatment, the true practice of the 12th chapter. Because the 12th chapter is practice. How can we see that? Now look at the first vertical of the healing matrix which we have been doing. There we said, what are the first four chapters? It's the question, how do we attain spiritual healing power? And the answer was given through four chapters, which said it is through spirit, 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 spiritual qualities. Now, what is practice? Practice is using spiritual qualities. Now, practice is using the theory. Therefore, practice is using here first the theory of the first column, namely to have spiritual qualities. Now, what does the 12th chapter tell us in the first part? The practitioner must have spiritual qualities. The spiritual qualities of the practitioner. That loving affections and everything, honesty and so on, is healing. Can you see that, or put it the other way around, going out from the 12th chapter, from the first part, there it says the practitioner must have this loving attitude, those spiritual qualities, and the question is, where does he get it? He gets it in the first four chapters. There it is stated how he gets it, how he gets the spirit of it. Yeah? Let's take the second column in the 12th chapter. You know, in the 12th chapter it was the treatment. What kind of treatment? That it was saying there with the caption, Truth and Mind, was saying you must know the truth. And the truth makes you free, so it's knowing, mind, the truth, truth. Where does he get that truth power? From the theory. Where is the theory of its practice? The theory of it is in the second column. The second column is truth, healing through mind. It's practically the same epitome as John Dolley had in his practice book for the second part of the 12th chapter, Truth Healing Through Mind. Can you see why, and how you see it, can you see why in the textbook, in the vertical of the second column, Truth and Mind, Truth is capitalized, Mind is capitalized, but when we come to the practice of it, the application of this one truth and one mind, then naturally it is the truth, small t, that has to be established in the mind of mortals, or it isn't an application. That's why we have in the 12th chapter, in the second column, so often in the text, truth with a small t, that has to be established in the mind of the patient. Can you see that the theory is truth, mind, capitalized, applied, naturally it is truth, specific, small t, applied to the mind of the patient, small m. Yeah? If we go to the third column in the 12th chapter, practice, you know, the caption was life and soul, and we had already called it last year, before we had made this matrix, we had called it, that's the method. Namely, what method did we say it was? It was the method to see that what we have established in the treatment, that that is of the nature of isness, and that we have to stick to that isness. Now that's the practice, to stick to it. And this is the practice of what theory? It is the theory that we have right in the third column of the textbook from chapter creation downward, which gave us also the method, namely to lift up that whole proposition of disease into the nature of idea, where the nature of idea is immovable, eternal, isness, and the method and rule of it was to lift it up to the nature of idea. If we use it, you see, then we apply it. And that's what the third column does. And so you can come to the fourth column. In the fourth column, what did we have? In the 12th chapter, the fourth column we had that actually we knew there that the patient is being healed. It is mental treatment illustrated. We have had a caption there on that fourth column saying how the patient is being healed, how he gets healed, how this is proved as actual healing. And what do we have in the last four chapters of the textbook? That Christian Science heals and gives the proof of healing. Do you see the relationship? Now, do you see that these two, the matrix of healing as we have done it now, and so to say the structure of the 12th chapter, are not the same? They do not fit. Thank God they do not fit. Because the healing matrix shows us the principle of healing, and the 12th chapter shows us the practice of that principle of healing. So the principle and practice must be a bit different. They rest on the same principle, but they must naturally be different. They must have a different, you say, a different slant or a different touch. Huh? Aspect, you see, because it's the practice of it. Now, can we see now that why? Let's see. Let's put it this way: can we see now that why a student of the Christian Science textbook, when he wanted to know how on earth can I heal? And that when he went really to the 12th chapter on Christian Science practice, that he didn't find the answer there really. That's why the practitioners always go around the world and try to find out some unpublished manuscript of Mrs. Eddy because they think there is somewhere a mysterious trick where it shows how to heal better. They never find in the textbook the full answer, or they wouldn't go around. They wouldn't write to Boston and say, tell us finally how to heal. We don't know anymore how to heal. Nobody tells us anymore how to heal. They would go to the textbook. But if we go to the 12th chapter, we actually only find the practice, but not the theory. The theory is the whole textbook. It's not just a part of the textbook. Therefore, what is a practitioner? He is the one who practices the whole textbook and not the 12th chapter. Will you feel that clear now, what I said? Yeah? Well, thank God. That's what I wanted to convey. All right? Well, so with these exercises, you see, I just really wanted to wake the thought up to realize that matrix work is a very instructive work, that the matrix is very intelligent, that it teaches us quite a lot, that the matrix has not only information in it that we have put into it. We start out by putting information into it, by putting the epitomes into the boxes. But afterwards, it is as if our student becomes our teacher, that what we have put into the student, into the matrix, becomes now our teacher and tells us now much more than what we were thinking before. And in this way, I don't know, I'm not quite sure yet, we are on the way, but I feel in this way perhaps we touch a completely new field and a completely new method here in the way of practice than perhaps before. That before, I think perhaps practice was too much focused on how to give a treatment. Therefore, was too much focused on how to give a treatment. Instead of focusing, what is the principle of healing? Treatment is the application of it, and so we were wondering, who is telling us the method of treatment? And we are looking around, where do we find one? And I always found that John Dolittle's way of treatment is far above of what I have seen by other teachers. But today we have to ask ourselves the honest question without doing any harm to John Dolittle, to ask, but what he taught us as a way of treatment was from his experience. He didn't get it right out of the text of the textbook. And therefore, we can ask, what does the textbook say about it? And perhaps the textbook will teach us a further step. Anyway, one has seen that there must be something higher, namely the whole textbook as the theory of treatment, the whole textbook. And there we have it. So, in a way, it's interesting to see, if one looks back historically, how everything has some kind of a history. Mrs. Eddy says, Christian Science and Christian Scientists must have a history. If we look back on the history of healing, one can see that practically every generation round about every 25 years, the development was so that the new paradigm came into focus and the old paradigm was slowly getting out of focus. Say, right at the beginning when Mrs. Eddy had to teach their students, she had to teach healing on the basis of arguments and argumentation. And nobody practically knew any other method, any other way of treatment than through arguments. And that was up to the 90s of last century. And then little by little, the Kimball period came in, and for another generation, up to around about 1910 to 1520, actually the Kimball method of exchanging objects for the ideas of soul was in vogue. Everybody was treating that way, exchanging ideas, exchanging objects for ideas. Then, for another 25 years or so, up to 1940, round about, you had the other paradigm coming in. Let's treat on the question of oneness. The Bicknell Young period, Bicknell Young, Dr. DeLange, Joe Cook, all those people were all telling the story of treating disease from the point of view of oneness, of the one eye, of the one ego. And then came really into focus John Dorley. The Bicknell Young period was coming to an abrupt end, I would say, during the last war, rather than abrupt way, practically nothing is left over anymore. And John Dorley brought in the completely new sense of science. And I think what we can do in our generation is really to investigate the science of that oneness. And investigating deeper and deeper, because we can't expect that a man alone could do the whole job for the next 200 years. It could only be, as I was quoting at the beginning of this week, it can only be one whose effect is more through his students than through what he does himself. That the big genius has only one task, and that is to introduce a new paradigm. But to elaborate the paradigm is no more his task. That's the task of his students. I think we really honor him by seeing what are the implications of his work. And the implication of his work are that he introduced not a new method of treatment, because that had nothing to do with the system of science, but his big contribution was that he made us aware that science has a system and introduced system thinking. And it is perhaps our task, not perhaps, it is our task, really to see that system is only the groundwork on which all the structures are built. All the structures of divine science and of Christian science are built. And I guess this is the task of his students. The task of his students is really to ground ourselves in the categories so clearly, so definitely, that this system lends itself for infinite structuring. What we have been doing this week was just showing three of the structures. The textbook as a main structure. The other two matrices which we did were sidelines, and so you can see that we can have such a matrix, say, on mind, can have such a matrix on spirit, on soul, on principle, on life, on truth, and love. We have been doing these matrices, the tone, they are terrific. They actually show that the index J always remains the same, but actually that the index I changes with every synonymous term. which led us for the first time really to have really a scientific summary or integration of those seven matrices into a 4x7 matrix for the first time. We never had a 4x7 matrix from a text. But in this way, you arrive at that. All out of the textbook. No personal interpretation in it. No personal view in it. And that would be the scientificalness of science.